But Father, we do ask that you continue to mold us and shape us. And sometimes that's a painful process. Sometimes that's breaking us. Most times that is breaking us. It's breaking us out of our old ways, of our hardness of heart, of our indifference towards you. A lot of times that's not easy. And maybe that's why many times your creation doesn't come to you, because we don't like pain. We want everything to be easy and comfortable. And the thing is, Lord, you're calling us out of a sinful nature, and coming out of that is uncomfortable because we've so been accustomed to it. We're so used to it. But I thank you that through Jesus Christ, Lord, you've shown us what brokenness is, that you gave us a good example, Lord, of what it is to be surrendered to you. So, Lord, I thank you for just your son, Jesus Christ. And I do ask today that you allow all of us just to surrender to you what is yours. You know, Jesus said those faithful words, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God's. An interesting thing, God, is you own the cattle on the hill and everything else, the universe, the stars, you own it all. You created it all. And so, Father, we thank you today. I thank you for Quee's voice. I thank you for the talent that you've given her, Lord, and just the grace you placed upon her. And so, Father, we just thank you and we love you today, Lord. And so we just bless you and bless you again in your son Jesus' name. Y'all know who we're going to be talking about today?
Yes, sir.
Oh. God. Particularly, we're going to be talking about Jesus. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. Every Sunday when we come, we're talking about the same person, because a lot of people don't know Jesus. A lot of people have a wrong understanding of him. And so, but the Bible gives us a clear picture of who Jesus is. And so as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, we found out that, you know, Jesus has been appointed. He's come with a gospel, which is good news. He's come to tell people that the kingdom of God is at hand. He's also been healing people. He's healed a leper. And we remember that picture of the leper is a picture of sin, because how leprosy goes inside your innermost being and corrupts everything, sin does the same thing. And yet Jesus wasn't afraid to touch this guy. Jesus wasn't afraid to come to where he was at. And then after that, we saw that Jesus had an encounter with a paralytic person, somebody who can't walk. They couldn't do anything for themselves. And that's where we find ourselves at, away from Christ, away from God. We can't do anything for ourselves. And what Jesus told this guy, he didn't just say, hey, I'm going to heal you. He told him something far more important. Y'all remember what that was? What was it? He told him his sins are forgiven. And that brought up a big argument or a big conversation with the people who were listening, because they was like, you know, only God can forgive sins. And so if only God can forgive sins and Jesus Christ just told this man his sins were forgiven, then that means Jesus is God. And he doesn't shy away from that. And the good thing that he is because if we want anybody to rescue us from the wrath of God, we want it to be God. We want it to be somebody who was powerful enough to do it. And so as we're going through, we've seen that Jesus has healed the leper. He's healed a paralytic person. And now we come into this place where Jesus doesn't heal anybody. Jesus calls somebody. And we see that it's just as important when Jesus calls someone out of a sinful lifestyle than when he actually heals somebody. They're just as important. But we're going to find something out that's pretty cool, you know, who Jesus calls. And I guess I'd ask a question, like, who do you think Jesus calls? Who do you think qualifies for Jesus to say, hey, come follow me?
Disciples?
Disciple? No, that's a person who follows him. Do you think the person has to be really good? You think they have to be good? You think they have to be perfect? All right. Think they have to be perfect? That's true. I think you do have to be perfect. But interestingly enough, Jesus calls non-perfect people to follow him. And as we follow him who is perfect, he makes us what we should be. But we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 13. We're still in the Gospel of Mark, working through, just highlighting the person of Jesus Christ. And with that, I think this is the most important figure in history for us to know. And the sad part about it is this is the figure in history that's so misunderstood, misrepresented, and just not known as he should be. And we find out that Jesus is an awesome person, an awesome figure in history. And I say figure in history is because Jesus actually came to history. He came to a city named Galilee. That was in the Middle East, or we'd call it part of the Roman Empire. He came in a specific time. He came when there was a specific ruler. And so Jesus came in our time. He's a real person. And so we'll start in Mark chapter 2, verse 13. He says, he went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting down at tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Now, Jesus was just walking by. And notice as he goes, he does something very important. He's never just kind of lollygagging around. He's always on purpose. And as he was walking through, he was teaching. He was telling people about the kingdom of God. He was telling people about salvation from sins. He was telling people about how to be reconciled to God. And for us, that's what we should be mindful of, that we shouldn't be idle. We shouldn't just be walking around lollygagging. You know, Jesus was on purpose as he was going, and people were blessed by that. People's lives, I'm sure, would change as he was teaching them. And here it is, Levi. Levi is sitting at the tax booth, is pretty much his office. Levi was a tax collector. A tax collector is a person who goes around. Let's just think of it like this. A tax collector is a person who goes around and collects fees. That's payment, like money. And there are governments who charge money for you to exist in their government. Like the Roman Empire, because they took over Israel, they had a tax on Israel. For Israel to stay occupying that land, the Roman Empire said, you need to pay us a tax. And so the Roman Empire was the conquering empire of Israel. So you think Israel liked the Roman Empire? You think the Roman Empire liked Israel? You think Israel liked paying taxes? No. So they had to pay money to a government who overtook them, who ruled over them. And Levi is an Israelite, and he has to collect taxes. So do you think many people like Levi? No. And to make it worse, Levi wasn't just a victim who had a bad job, you know, with the Roman government. Levi was, what we'll find out as we go on, Levi wasn't a good person. Because what would happen when the Roman government would want taxes paid, someone would say, hey, I'll pay all the taxes for the whole region. And say if that tax was, we just say if it was $100, the person like Levi would pay the taxes. And then imagine if there are 1,000 people in that region, and Levi would want to go around and collect the money that he paid. But if it's 1,000 people, do you think he's going to get more than $100? Yeah. And so for a lot of people, it was big business. It was a way to make a lot of money being a tax collector. Because what he would do is say, hey, I'll pay $100, say, if we use Oak Creek Campground as the region. Say we went to the governor, say, governor, I'll pay the taxes for Oak Creek Campground. That's $100, just saying. And then I go to each and every person in this community. And because I'm greedy, because I want money, I tell every person that, you know, your tax, every person's tax is $2. And so say if there are 100 people here, I make $100 on top of the $100 I had to pay. So I paid $100 and I made $200. So it was a way to make money. And now these people, the tax collectors, that was just a small example. But the tax collectors, what they would do, they would not just double it. Sometimes they would triple it. And the people didn't know what the taxes were, so they had to pay the tax collectors for it. And so Levi is not like a friendly person. He already has the Roman government, even though he works with them, the Roman government doesn't like the Israelites. And because he's collecting taxes for the Roman government, the Israelites do not like Levi. And the interesting thing about that is I don't really think Levi cares. Levi is, he's not interested in what's moral, what's right. He's not interested in the laws of God, because in the Israel's law, you couldn't put interest on something that you, that somebody paid to you, or that you, if you loan money out, you couldn't put interest on it. And so Levi himself was doing that. That was his whole job. He'd say, I paid this ahead. I gave you a loan. I paid the taxes for you. So now you pay me, but I'm going to add a tax fee to it. I'm going to add more money to it. And so Levi was what you'd call, he's a hard-hearted person. He was pretty much what the world knows now as a gangster or a mobster. There are people who like have monopolies over certain areas, and people couldn't do anything but yield to whatever this person said. If they said it was $1,000 or $100, they'd have to pay it. And so this is where Levi was at. And the interesting thing about Levi is, because the stories that we've been hearing, or the record that we've been seeing with Jesus, is that he's been healing, he's been dealing with people who seem more of like outcasts, more who are in a crisis, who really, 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 really need help. You know, people who you can pity. You know, somebody has a disease and leprosy, it makes you think like, man, I feel sorry for you. And the person who's paralytic, you know, they can't get around, they can't supply for themselves like they want to, they make like, man, I feel sorry for you. And a lot of people think or look at Christianity like that's all that Christianity is. Like Christianity is for the worst, the people who are bad off, people who don't know no better, or people who just, you know, down on their luck. And Christianity kind of just focuses on, I guess, the easy targets, the people who really, 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 really need help. But the thing with Levi points out in this encounter with Jesus is that Jesus point shows us something real interesting. Levi would be a picture of, I would say, a normal American who's like, man, I got my house, I got my car, I got my truck, I got my retirement, I got my boat, I got this, I got that, I'm making money, I got my plan all figured out. I don't need anything. I'm not poor. I'm not, you know, diseased. I'm not crippled. I don't need anything. I don't care what people think. This is one of the attributes of the world, people in the world. They come to this place where they have no need, or feel they have no need for anybody, especially God, because they have everything they need and they really don't care. And a lot of times that's a comfort to themselves, as far as you hear people just say, hey, I really don't care. You know, I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what you think. You know, but we see Jesus doesn't push that person aside. He doesn't say, well, you don't care. Well, I don't care either. Jesus, as he's walking, he talks to this person while this person's at their job. He comes to right where they're at and gives them an invitation, a big invitation. And so here it is in verse 14. It says, after Jesus gave this invitation to Levi, Levi did something extraordinary. Levi followed him. Jesus came to Levi and said, you know, knowing who Levi was, knowing that Levi was a corrupt, hard-hearted businessman, independent, didn't think he needed God, didn't desire God, Jesus came to him and offered him the kingdom. He said, come follow me. Come be something that you're not now. Come be something that you can't be on your own. And Levi miraculously just takes him up on this offer. And that's the beauty of when people hear the gospel, is that it's the power of God that's working in their hearts that caused them to hear what the word is saying. And so here it is. Levi follows Jesus. And because of this, there's a certain thing that happens when you follow Jesus. So Levi was a big, evil businessman. He was cold-hearted. He didn't love God, didn't love people. Now he's following Christ. Do you think he can stay that way? He can't stay that way. And that's called sanctification or conversion. That's when you change from the way you actually were before you met God. You start doing things differently. And so Jesus, and so Levi here, after he follows the Lord, he makes this celebration. And I believe it's a celebration, like a going away party, that Levi is telling all of his people that he used to be in business with, like, hey, my life has changed. I can't do the same things I used to do. I can't go the same places I used to go. I can't talk the same way I used to talk. Things are different now, and I'm a follower of Christ. And so Levi has this party, and he invites Jesus to it. And so Jesus comes. Jesus says, okay, I'm going to come. You're going to have a dinner? I'll come to the dinner. And this is where things get really interesting. So remember, Levi, a tax collector, he was an evil businessman, cold-hearted, didn't like God, didn't really care what people think. Now, he invited all these other tax collectors to this place. So now you have a big place that's full of people who don't like God, probably don't want to know God. They're all about making money, don't care what people think about them, and they're all in this one place. And it's interesting because it's like, that sounds like a bad situation if there's no Jesus. But because there's Jesus in the midst of this, there's hope for all of these people here. And the get back on it as far as like how the people were tax collectors, they were so bad. They thought it the same thing. Like when people thought tax collector or publican, and that's publican, not Republican, but a publican, they would think sinner automatically because they already know tax collectors are corrupt. They cheat people out of money. They lie about things. They're corrupt. So people would say tax collector, same as sinners. And so that's what we're going to see as we go further on here. He says, and as he reclined at the table, this is Jesus at Levi's dinner. He says, as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, what do you think they said? Okay, so here it is, Jesus, the Son of God, on a mission of the kingdom. He's sitting with the worst of the worst. What do you think the Pharisees are going to say about Jesus? All right. Well, go ahead. Why are you eating with tax collectors and sinners? You read that before?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Very good. Very good. And so they're asking a really good question. Because in their minds, they're thinking that from what they believed about the Mosaic law, that like you couldn't come in contact with anything that was defiled. Like you couldn't come in contact with a leper. You couldn't come in contact with many other things that they called defiled. And even people. And so here it is, if these are tax collectors and sinners, these are the defiled people, then by Mosaic law, a Jew or a Hebrew shouldn't be in contact with these people. But we find out that Jesus is here right in the midst of these people. And sometimes, and I say most of the time, all the times, when we hear questions like these people asking, Jesus gives the best answer. Because remember when the people were asking, when Jesus told the paralytic, you know, your sins are forgiven you. And then the people asked, you know, well, who are you to forgive sins? You know, you're blaspheming. Jesus responded to them with a real good answer. He said, you know, so that you can know that the Son of Man himself has authority in earth to forgive sins. So they came a real good answer from their questioning. And right now they're asking another question. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? So why do you think Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners?
Because they're
going to
be
like,
good.
So he can teach them how to be good? I like that answer. All right. And so we're going to find out. We'll find out right here. He says, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, these who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus points out something real cool. He talks about being like a doctor. So we already know because of the gospel being good news, Jesus is on a rescue mission. Jesus has already healed a leper. Jesus is also healed and forgiven a paralytic. And now he comes right out with it and says he's a physician. He's somebody who works on people. That's what he does. And he points out the fact that he says that he didn't come for the righteous, but he came for sinners. And now, when he's saying, you know, the righteous or people who are well don't need a physician or a doctor, what he's pointing to is the fact that people who see themselves as well, like people who in their own mind say, I'm good, I'm okay, I'm righteous, I'm just. And we know from scripture that all the times when that statement is given, when people think they are righteous within themselves, they are not righteous at all. They're actually a sinner. They're in the same boat. And Jesus points out this. He says, I didn't come to the people who don't have no need of forgiveness, because there's some people who don't want forgiveness. They're not looking for it. And Jesus is like, I haven't come for those who think they don't need forgiveness. But for those who do see themselves as needing forgiveness, those are the ones who I've come for. And that's important for us, because we know we live in a world where the world is fallen and sinful, and we know ourselves that we need forgiveness of sins. We need that. And here it is, Levi would understand that the most. Even though him having a hard heart, not really caring what people think about him, there's always that voice inside of us that lets us know that we're not doing right. So even though Levi can, like, I'm making a lot of money, I really don't care what the Jews say about me, I really don't care what they say about God's law, inside, he knows what's right and what's wrong. And the beautiful thing is that it's God that puts that in us. He puts that in us, and it's called conscious. It's called that your consciousness. It's that voice inside that lets you know, like, man, when you're doing something, you really shouldn't be doing it. Or when you're doing something good, that, you know, that's a good thing. And so Levi would understand that. Levi would know, like, man, you know, as a Jew, I know I'm not supposed to be taxing or added interest to the tax. I know that. That's stealing, that's robbing, that's lying. And as a Jew, you know, I don't know his work schedule, but on certain days, they're not supposed to work. And that would be the Sabbath. But as a tax collector working for the Roman government, you have to work when they say you have to work. All of this stuff Levi would know, and he probably would be pressing this down, and he'd probably be thinking, like, man, I've done too much. I've cheated too many people. I've spoken against God too many times for there ever to be forgiveness for me. I know I'm wrong, you know? And so when Jesus walks by and makes this invite to Levi, that had to like rock his world to think, you know, like Levi knowing, like, man, I'm a crooked businessman. This is a, you know, as far as he knew, this was some, you know, righteous priest or prophet or a teacher. And this person is saying, hey, follow me, come where I'm going. He invites Levi into a world he never knew he could be in. And Levi takes him up on that offer. And Jesus uses that to give us the illustration that this is who he's calling. He's calling the ones who know, who are willing to see they're not where they should be, and also willing to take the invitation when it's given to them. And so that's a beautiful thing for us, because Jesus says he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. He didn't come to call people who are already safe. He came to save people who are in danger. And so that lets us know, if Jesus came to the world, he didn't just come to, you know, say, an isolated, you know, group. He came to the world, for it says God so loved the world that he sent his son. If he came to the world and he came to call sinners, that would let us know that the world at large is sinful. And so the world at large needs Jesus' forgiveness. The world at large needs Jesus to be their physician, to be their healer, to be the one who cleanses them from leprosy, the one who raises them up from their sickbed and give them forgiveness of sins. This is what they need. And this is why Jesus came. And there's pretty much that in a nutshell. You know, Jesus came to save sinners. He says that it's plain as day. The reason why he came is for people who need salvation. And the good thing about it is the fact that we know that we need salvation. You know, we live in this world, and even the small little things that happen throughout the day when somebody wronged you and you feel like, man, you shouldn't have done that. We actually point to something that is right, something that is true. And that thing is God. When we go from right and wrong, we're pointing to an absolute truth, that being God. And that lets us see where we are in our world. Like if we're in a sinful lifestyle, if we're in an upright lifestyle. And if we look around, we can see many things going on that can show us that our world is sinful and that our world needs a savior. And the beautiful thing about it is that God doesn't just leave us in our calamity. He just doesn't be like, okay, y'all sinful people, y'all backwards and corrupt. I'm going to leave y'all to that. He sends Jesus Christ out of the glory and majesty of heaven to come down to earth, to sit amongst in a group, you know, like how he was right here with all of these people who needed him. And we're the same. And so far we've seen Jesus as he's been coming through. He's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, repent, believe the gospel. He's come and he's actually healed. He healed Peter's mother-in-law earlier on. He healed the paralytic, he healed the leper, and now he's calling what we see a normal person, a person who doesn't have anything physically wrong with them. How it looks on the outside, everything looks good. You know, he calls this person and they come and he lets us know that this is why he came. So if anybody is in the question of like, why did Jesus come to the world? He gives us the answer. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So he's come to call sinners. He's come to save sinners. So we will pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've made it plain, Lord, in your word. You have not left it to be arbitrary or just vague, Lord. You've said you've come to save and call sinners. And your word says that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. So, Lord, that means that there's not one of us, Lord, who is exempt or disqualified from your saving plan and from your gospel. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord. And I thank you that if there be any, Lord, who see in themselves or think of themselves as being righteous and not needing you, Lord, I ask that you help their heart to understand who they really are. And that when they do understand that, Lord, they're not far from you, Lord. You're not a God where you're going to continue to push them away, but you desire to draw them in near. And so, Father, I ask that you bless all of those who take it to heart today to see themselves as you see them, fallen, and to reach out and to ask for that help, Lord, to repent, Lord, of their sins, Lord, and believe and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for the saving of their souls. Father, we do thank you and we do bless you. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.